This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 48, with half of the Northwick tag team coaching duo, Brandon Northwick.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is a show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters, not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. My name is JC Preston, and I'm your host today. I'm part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping creative entrepreneurs do passion-filled work and supporting a lifestyle that supports who they are. And this session is powered by Fizzle. You know, just last night, Layla and myself hosted the Indie Fizzle Meetup, and we had two new guests show up. Both are new to Fizzle, but have very different backgrounds in business. One has already had a traditional coaching business for several years now and wants to build herself online more than she currently is, while the other one is wanting to start her first business online, period. What's great about Fizzle is that it's useful for both of them. They're both using the roadmap that I talk about all the time, and they're making connections online that are turning out to be real-life connections as well. So congrats to Roz and Cassie for coming last night, and I hope they continue to stick with Fizzle and coming to the group. Of course, you can join us in the Indy area. We host the event every second Tuesday of the month, and if you're not in the Indy area, you can join Fizzle for 2 free weeks by going to newinceptions.com/fizzle and then checking out the calendar. There you'll be able to see if there's any meetups in your area, and if there isn't one, start one up like I did. Also, just a reminder that my ebook entitled The Six Cornerstones of a Successful Online Business is now available. I couldn't be more thrilled in how well it's been servicing people and their desire to build their own business. You know, if Fizzle's roadmap is like a map to get from point A to point B, then I think this ebook complements it by essentially being the guide to help you figure out what supplies you need to take with you as you travel down your path. I've also been getting some great feedback in how much it's been helping people out. Most recently, I was told that it helped the guy focus on what he needed to do next. You know, it helped him switch from being a person who just consumes content to someone that is actively looking to find the info on what his problem is, which is a big switch in itself, and especially when you're becoming an entrepreneur, but you need to know which questions to ask. So if you want to make that switch for yourself, then check it out at newinceptions.com/sixcornerstones. All right, so I know I've been kind of light on the nuts and bolts of many of our conversations, and while that hasn't been my focus to ever achieve a nut and bolt conversation, I will say that today's guest is definitely someone you're going to enjoy if you're looking to start any kind of consulting or coaching business. Brandon Northwick is his name, and with his wife, Sarah, they lead up Northwick Consulting. They like to work with entrepreneurs who already have income coming in, but aren't quite sure how to get to the next level, especially online. So you can think of them as people I'd forward people to if they were looking to hone in on metrics or more conversions per ad. In fact, some of the stuff that we talked today I didn't even know existed, including a discussion on private label rights products. I had no idea that they were even existed. They're actually known as PLR products. Again, didn't know they existed. We also discuss attraction marketing, how he builds trust with people quickly, and what you should do if you feel like your videos wouldn't be interesting if you started posting some on YouTube. So definitely a lot of takeaways from this talk, so be sure to be ready to take notes. And as usual, show notes are available at newinceptions.com/session48, and I'll be on the end of the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm JC, and I'm welcomed with someone I think you guys are going to learn quite a bit from today. His background includes several companies since he was 15 years old, including becoming a licensed realtor at the age of 20. You know, when I was 20, I was still worried about college, so that's setting something at the age of 20. And growing up, he didn't have the same perspective in the world as his parents, and however, like I would have, he didn't necessarily try to fit in. And in fact, learning about the realty world from his grandparents empowered him to go for more. And that's exactly what he did. Today, he finds himself alongside his wife consulting and coaching other entrepreneurs. And his name is Brandon Northwick. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, JC. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on here, man.
Definitely a pleasure having you on. And, you know, as I've been researching and finding out more about you, I mean, definitely an interesting story. And I got to say right now that if anybody is going to be checking you out, for sure, you really, really, really want to check out his in-depth about page. I mean, it's a really fascinating story. And almost, I would say that almost rivals Gary Vee's a little bit. So good job there, man.
Oh, well, that's a high honor. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah. So a lot that I definitely skipped in your intro there. And as I was saying, I find it really, really interesting. And I think a lot of kids today try to fit in as they're growing up. And personally, I know I was ostracized by many of my peers as I got older. And so performing academically was very much on the top of my mind because it's the one thing that I knew that I could actually do. And for me, here's where it kind of changes from a lot of people is that I didn't really matter how I got the grades, just as long as I got them. Okay. And that was true all the way through college. So we'll just let your imagination kind of go with whatever you want to say that. But I think the big part of that was that my mom was an art teacher. And when I was growing up, education was number one, and creativity, again, her being an art teacher was a close second. And, you know, I actually still think, that way today. And I think the main thing is that I'm huge on education and creativity, but I'm focused on what kind of education people are taking in, right? I hate the fact, and this will tell you a lot. I'm a big fan of a podcast called School Sucks. Okay. And a big reason for that is because a lot of the education system is completely made to build followers, right? And I think in your career is that you didn't fit that mold and you bucked it, which is good for you. Bravo. And I guess my first question is, how did you first realize that you were wanting to go the business route, and how did you successfully buck the system as you were growing up?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. That's a great kind of synopsis. Yeah. The schooling system is, you know, we both know is atrocious. It's not set up for winning people. It's set up, of course, to, you know, like you said, create a bunch of followers and not people who are thinking for themselves. So it was at a very early age for myself, probably right around the 10 or 11 years old kind of thing, when I started to really adapt to seeing what the people around me, the most happiest, the most successful, the people who were living the lives that I wanted to basically live for myself. What were they doing? Mm-hmm. How did they look at people? How did they view themselves? How did they view the world? And the people who I really started to emulate and look after were the people who didn't make excuses about their circumstances. They didn't let the outside forces drive their results. They were the people that were going to make it happen no matter what. And then you start doing a little bit more digging and you start to find out that those kind of personalities are people who are entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And then you start to dig even further and you start to see, wow, this world of entrepreneurial, you know, ventures is so much more fulfilling in my eyes than being told that you got to wake up at 9 a.m., you get off work at 5, you eat lunch at 2, you know, like that to me just was like, I didn't like it in school. You know what I mean? We didn't like it then. I didn't think that I would like it as an adult. So I kind of latched on to a couple of things that my grandparents were doing early on, and they were big into real estate. They had, you know, a brokerage in Arizona. They moved that over to Vegas. We're trying to teach things to, you know, the family. And so my mother became a transaction coordinator for them. So every day when she would come home, when I was like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, she would share these stories with me about escrow, about contracts, about negotiations, about how things would just fall out, and how basically, you know, the income that my grandparents had was based off of the actions that they took. Mm-hmm. And then that's when it kind of clicked. And I said, wow, you're telling me that the more I put in, the more effort that I do, I'm not going to have to pay for somebody else's mistakes if I become, you know, an entrepreneur. And of course, when you have employees and you have large businesses, that's technically not true. But when you're starting out, everything that you get is off of your own shoulders. You mm-hmm. have to put your foot forward. You have to make that happen. And I was always big into like team sports. Right. And things like that. So I was always a good team player, but I always knew that if it was focused on my sole efforts to getting to a place where I wanted to go, I would always bet on myself 100% of the time. And I knew then that's when I wanted to be able to kick, like you said, kick that society's way of doing things and just embracing that life of an entrepreneur.
It's really interesting to me how you were even aware, though, like, of all of this. By again saying you were 15 years old, like I had a previous guest, Daniel Postma, and he is 20 and has already been a serial entrepreneur. And it just blows my mind. Like growing up as a kid, I mean, to even focus on that sort of stuff where you're interested in, especially, you know, us both being born in the 80s, you kind of, you know, what was I concerned about when I was 15 years old? Okay, so 15, that was what, in high school, right?
Yeah.
That's freshman year. And freshman year, I was focused on football, making good grades, because that's what, and I never questioned that again, because, you know, I had a, you know, teacher as a parent. Right. And band and other creative stuff. I was pretty good in art too. So I guess it's like, what did your influence come from your grandparents then? Because it sounded to me that was it your mom and your stepdad?
Correct. Yes. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So they kind of lived, you know, the normal life as well. I mean, how much of a normal life did you actually have?
Well, normal, I think, is all perception, right? I think,
right. No, you're right. You're right. For sure.
For normality, I think that we were, you know, sub-middle class, barely had enough to get by. And, you know, the things that I always heard in my household were, you know, save, save, save. We don't have enough to get this. You know, I wish I could do more. Those kinds of things that really embedded in my thought process, in my brain as a child, got me to really, like you said, latch onto my grandparents. They were, I guess you could say, the successful ones of the family. We didn't have anybody in our family go to college. Nobody had any degrees. Nobody was an entrepreneurial or had any entrepreneurial background except for my grandparents. And so when I started to watch them and see how they were doing it, that was basically the influence that I was looking for. And then from then, yeah, because when we get later into, you know, to the actual real estate part of my business and doing that, you're going to find out that some really funky things happened with my grandparents that almost caused me to get out of the whole entrepreneurial venture permanently. So
really? Okay, cool. And so are these your maternal grandparents or?
Yes. Yeah. My mother's mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay. So yeah. They were actively in your life. They didn't just randomly just pop up on your radar. And then you just kind of said, you know, rich dad, poor dad sort of thing. Thanks, parents. Bye. And, you know, okay, cool.
Right.
All right. So being influenced a lot by your grandparents, I mean, they were in your life a lot. And how did your parents feel as you were starting to gravitate more towards them?
Well, I think my stepdad, of course, he wasn't really there. My real dad wasn't really there. So it was really my mom who was doing a lot of the bouncing back and forth of ideas with. And since she was so involved with the business herself as a transaction coordinator, it made it real easy for me to have these conversations. My mom loved the idea of me getting into real estate. She loved the idea of me doing business. She just never saw herself as somebody who could get it done. And those self-limiting beliefs are what, you know, are what drove me to my grandma. My grandma was a powerhouse. You know what I mean? Grandma, grandpa, they were like, take no excuses, you know, do what you got to do, get up every morning, put up the grind, you know, it's never going to stop. Business is 24 hours a day, you know? And so there was a lot of mental, polarities, basically mental kind of mindset polarities between my grandparents and my parents. And that right there was enough for me to kind of lean on the vision of my grandparents and say, okay, well, this matches more who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. So you, it skipped a generation, basically.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
You were just alluding to the fact that you had success. I mean, your first sale was what?
Five thousand.
And your first commission. Amazing. Good job.
Thank you.
So you were doing pretty well. And again, this is 20 years old. I mean, I didn't even start making a paycheck until really in grad school, which at that point was 26. So 20-year-old making $5,000 per commission up through your whatever years, quote unquote, you're doing pretty good. So why did you leave Realty?
That's where we get into a tricky situation where it comes to mentors and it becomes, you know, the responsibility of someone to I don't want to say cater, but to nurture people who are growing and are hungry. And when you take a responsibility as a mentor, which is, you know, later on, you're going to find out why I got into the coaching and consulting business. Mm-hmm. When you take the responsibility as a mentor, it does something. It's supposed to do something for the person, not only being mentored, but the person doing the mentoring. And what happened with me going in business with my grandparents, they basically told me to my face, look, you're brand new, because I was super excited. You can imagine 20 years old walking out of the licensing office, seeing that, you know, I passed my test on the first try. I was going to, you know, fill out the applications with the brokers. I was going to get hired and I wanted to work beside my grandparents. Well, they gave me this incredibly bad idea to not go with them and to cut my teeth with other companies so that I could see, quote unquote, what the real world was about before I went and worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Bad mistakes. I went and signed up with company after company. I had mentors. I had team members. I had people who were trying to teach me the business and nobody was actually mentoring me. They were telling me to do the basic things that, you know, anybody could do, which is, you know, like, give me the secrets, give me the things that are making you the most money. Cause I want to learn. I don't need to learn and make the money overnight, but the things that they were having me do were things that basically they didn't want to do themselves.
Bookwork. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Open houses, constant, like calling dead lists, you know, doing things that just, I knew wasn't the real secret sauce to their income, but yet they were having me do it and basically wasting my time versus letting me shadow them and ask questions and learn from them. And after about 4 years, 3 years of being out there with different companies, some better than others, I went with where my grandmother finally gave me the green light to say, you know what, Brandon, it looks like you're having a little bit of difficulty. Looks like your sales have struggled. Why don't you come back over here? You know what I mean?
Thanks, Grandma.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I made the switch to over there. And then that was when within a year from them, it's almost like as if you hear a lot of other people. My mentor, who's my grandma, she got me back into her business after 3 years of struggle. I go with her for 12 months and then she decides to retire.
Oh,
yeah. So, I mean, it was just tossed around like a hot potato. And then when I get to where I'm supposed to be, she's like, oh, by the way, I'm leaving.
Wow. Yeah. And so that was the nice little shady thing that, I mean, it wasn't shady. I mean, obviously
shady, but I mean, no, I mean, I agree with you. I told her to her face, you know, I'm not one to hide, God rest her soul, but it's like, look, grandma, you, I knew you were in the being. The whole reason why, just to kind of share with the viewers, that the whole reason why I even got into real estate was to provide them with an 80-20 split for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So that I was able to give them a commission, even when they did retire, I wanted to help them live a secure life. They'd already done really well, but I wanted to continue to give to them because of everything that they did to me. And I couldn't really give them that because of the process and then their departure. So,
yeah. And then how much longer was it that you were actually in the business before you started something else?
Well, I stayed licensed up until just June of last year, but I was not active. I actually about a year after that. So about 5 years into my real estate, I kind of just was like, I wasn't an active realtor. I was just a realtor.
Mm, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then you started other kinds of businesses. I mean, what kind of things did you dabble in before you got into coaching?
Well, we started out, had the grand idea. Do you remember the age of the food truck?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We went and I found a partner, a good friend of mine. We decided to invest. It was a nice hefty chunk of money to get this. We didn't go out and find investors, which was our big mistake. which is why the whole project stalled. And we got to a point where we had the menu, we had the chef, we had everything except for the actual truck and for the, you know, capital for food costs and things like that. We had the vendor relations. We went through everything and we had a great concept, but then we had no idea. Remember, this was what, 6 years, 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea. I had no idea how to raise money. I had no idea how to go and take this to investors. I had no idea about the resources that are really out there. So, I mean, anybody listen to this with that's looking for a startup, I mean, you don't have to fund this thing yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can put together a solid business plan and talk with a few capital investors, you can find some really good rates right now that are going to help fund your entire dream without giving up a lot of equity. And, you know, that could be done. I didn't know that back then. So basically we had put that project on halt. So it's really, it's kind of like on the shelf right now.
Right. Well, and you know, the thing, as you said, the age of the food trucks, they're actually pretty prevalent here in Indy. So, I don't know if that's coming, but gone quite yet, but yeah,
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think so either. Yeah. I mean, we still have a plan to turn into a restaurant. That's kind of what we took it from a food truck idea. We're going to take that concept in with some funds that we're going to be doing and the new people that we're meeting with our consulting business. It just opens up so many more avenues.
Have you seen the movie Chef yet?
I have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I love that movie, actually.
That's a great movie. Yeah.
So, that was one of the ideas. Did you had an online business as well that you kind of grew tired of? What was that about?
Yeah. Before the online business, we even had a trophy truck. We were trying to start, are you familiar with Pole Position?
Pole Position? No, actually.
It's basically an indoor raceway. So it speeds up to like, you know, 30, 40 miles an hour. It's an indoor race car. They track your seconds nationally so you can race against people in other cities.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing that they're doing. They just opened up, I think, or they're planning on opening up. There's like 80 new locations over the next
couple. That is crazy, because I was actually involved at Purdue. We had Grand Prix, so carts, right?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, that was one of the places that we had practiced like during the rest of the year. Because, well, you know, it's cold up here. So, you know, and even when you're getting ready for the Grand Prix itself, which is like in April, it's sketchy weather at best. So, yeah, no, I'm definitely familiar with those places. But to put them all together like that in a kind of a league, that's pretty cool.
It was a really a cool concept. And that's kind of the concept that we were modeling. And so we put our heads together. We got in front of a couple of big wigs, you know, owners of the Venetian out in Vegas, because that's where I was at the time. Mm-hmm. And so they basically told us, hey, look, you know what? I love your plan. I love your idea. We'll fund you the couple million that you need. But, you know, we got to have a better plan in place. We like this. Come back to us in, I think it was 6 months, and represent this idea to us. And if everything goes well, then we'll basically grant you the funding. Mm-hmm. So during that time, me and my partner, you know, scheduled meetings. We were doing our thing that we were supposed to be doing. And again, it comes down to business relationships. The red flags are going to be there. You know what I mean, JC? Like if we don't acknowledge these things, then it's just going to blow up in your face. And I was going through this for the third time now with a partner of mine that basically in the middle of a meeting lost his wig. And next thing you know, he's storming out and we literally had to blow up the whole deal. And wow. So that's tabled. That's basically something that fell off before we even had it. And we were in front of people, you know what I mean? So this thing was rocking and rolling. And
well, there's one success there. How do you find yourself getting in front of people? I mean, obviously you learned from the first one that you can get in front of people. So what kind of steps did you take to get in front of VCs or angel investors or whatever you want to call them?
Using the people that are closest to them to give me the in. Typically they're very closed as far as their communities. Mm-hmm. So if you can get with somebody who is a best friend or who is a mentor to somebody who you would like to get in front of, and you can make friends with their friends, mm-hmm. it makes it very easy for them to kind of pass along your information. And as I'm sure you would agree, third party reference is still like referral is still going to be the best way to get inside somebody's front door
in anything. And going back to your realty, I'm sure you realize that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of how funny how that actually works.
And then the online business. Yeah. The online business, basically that was a internet marketing company where I was selling information products. And that's kind of where I cut a lot of my online teeth. So for about 2 years, 2.5 years, I went through a lot of testing, a lot of ways that, you know, I was offering to kind of get with people. So I'm a very hungry dude. I love to learn. I will pay the cost for whatever it's due as long as the value is behind it. Mm-hmm. And I will apply pretty much everything. That's always what gives me an advantage over my competition is I don't waste any time. I'll take what I got and I'll put it to action. And so I was finding out in this internet marketing world, this industry that people, you know, love so much about, you know, the money making opportunity, the internet marketing opportunity, the network marketing opportunity, all these affiliate marketing, all these different kinds of, you know, ways to make money online. They all basically shared like one underlying problem for me. And that was the fact that no one ever, same thing I faced as a problem inside the real estate and with everything else was that there was no real mentorship. Right. There was nobody that was literally unveiling their business operation and saying, hey, look, this is the exact resource and tool that I use. This is how I use it. This is the process that I've implemented. And this is the ease. And these are the results that I'm getting.
Right.
Nobody was doing that. And I was offering to pay, you know, pretty much anybody that I felt was qualified to teach me. I was offering, hey, look, you know, what can I get to get this from you? And no one was giving me anything.
Well, and I think that is exactly the reason why Pat Flynn's so popular. Like, that is the reason why he has exploded because of all the free online mentoring that he gives, literally.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, there's nothing, everything's behind a paywall out there. And until you pay your way into the group, then you're not going to get that mentoring. And that's something that I've seen as a need as well. I mean, it's just, I was just yesterday, up in Muncie, Indiana, which is the area that I'm originally from. And I was at what's called the CoLab, which is an incubator there. And I was just talking to the director, Jen, just kind of the stuff that they see themselves kind of having to deal with on a regular basis. I mean, people don't know how to network for crying out loud when they go to this, some of these events and just like that they put on. And it's just like, well, that makes sense. But are they just out of school or, I mean, have they been in the real world for a while? Or, I mean, it's just, I was just kind of curious as like some of the struggles that people have. And it's just kind of, I guess, you know, here I am, I've been doing in this world for about 6-7 years myself now. And I kind of see, you know, some of the struggles that, well, no, actually let me carry the one. And I've actually been around it in 10 years. But, you know, the thing is that they don't teach this kind of stuff in school at all. And it's just a completely, and if you don't have that mentorship, you're right. I mean, it's good luck. So, I mean, so that's obviously a big reason why you got into coaching. Let me ask you something though. Why did you go directly into coaching as opposed to start making your own kind of a paywall info product sort of thing?
Well, I think it stems from a few things. The first reason why I jumped right into consulting versus creating products so that I could build a brand, so that people can trust me, so that I could sell them on one-on-one, which is, you know, of course, typically what people end up doing. Right. I did not want to take that route because for one, the packaging that what I was going to do, I know the impact of a personal one-on-one relationship. I know what it can do when you can have somebody literally look into your computer where you can ask them a live question, where you can have access to that person for whatever problem that you have. And typically when you purchase a product from somebody, you're going to have maybe access to a support email. You're possibly going to get, maybe if they're doing things in the right way, you might actually have live support during, depending on what kind of product that you're selling. But there is no personal support from the person who created that product.
Right.
That's why they created the product, was to free up time and to make revenue. Mm-hmm. So they're not looking to answer your questions about, well, hey, look, I went through your product and I see that, you know, this is still confusing to me. What can I do? Which is going to happen with everything across the board. I mean, I've purchased endless products.
You and me both.
Right. And I mean, I purchased them for a few reasons. One, I want to hack it. I want to see exactly what the thank you page looks like. I want to see the process that they follow up with me. I want to see their upsell sequence. I want to basically hack the things that are working so that I can implement what's working, you know, really well for my own business. Mm. But the other reason is to also be able to learn. And I've just noticed that every product that has been created, I have had questions in the back end and I have to then spend the hours that I bought the product for searching out those answers myself.
Right.
And to me, that's counterproductive when you're trying to sell a product. So I was trying to do something a little bit different, and all of my products, I've created $7 products, And we also do our masterminds, which range from, you know, $2,000 to $5,000, depending on what mastermind is, what we're going to be offering. We have our Do Whatever It Takes Academy, which is like a fast start 12-week program. So we've expanded on our program, I mean, on our product line, since I started consulting. The consulting, though, started basically as somebody like found me on Twitter. I'll never forget this. And he found me on Twitter. It was through a direct message that I sent him. And he was basically spamming the heck out of people. It was just constant, you know, the stuff that you would typically see from a marketer.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the freaking crowd. What is it? Crowd app? Crowdfire.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm like, dude, that's not how you start a conversation. And it's just like, and one of my friends, I got to admit, she has one. And she has the thing going on, and it's like, okay, I understand why you want to do this. You want to kind of put yourself on their radar like right away, but it doesn't help if everybody does it.
And it doesn't help the way that they do it. Like, we still have automated responses depending on what market we're targeting and the niche that we're in and the message, but it's still not a spammy message. It's not, hey, look at me buying my stuff. It's never like that. It's a, hey, let's start a conversation. So, what I did with him is I just did the same thing that I do with all of our, you know, clients and the way that we teach and everything, which is answer in a very respectful, normal conversation kind of way. So basically, I just responded to his direct message and was like, hey, man, is this getting you great results? You know, I think there's a better way for you to do this. Are you open to hearing a few suggestions?
Nice.
Yeah, man, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, he responded back and was like, yes, I got him on a phone call. And my whole concept, and this is for everybody starting a business, is people over profit 100% of the time. And when you can put yourself in a position where you're just delivering this based on the goodwill, based on what they're going to receive, not anything that you're going to get in return,
right,
you're going to win every time.
Yeah.
And I was so thrown away because at this moment, when I had this conversation with this gentleman, I had no plans on really taking my consulting business as serious as I am now and to be, you know, generating the sales that we are now. It's just incredible to us. But it all started from a $497 sale that he basically said after I got off the phone. I was like, I didn't know how to close it. I was like, you know, it'd be like me and you. I'm like, hey, well, okay, well, I guess I'll talk with you soon. And before, you know, before I got off the phone, he was like, wait, Brandon, how do I work with you? How do we make that? I need your help. I need this to. And that's when I was like, wow, okay, well, you know, $497 a month sounds good to me. You know, pulled the number out of my hat, had no idea. We didn't have anything like that before. And then now you can see, you know, within a year of growing this business, we now have, you know, we just signed a client for a $15,000 package, and we have another proposal written up for $22,000. So, I mean, all these things are happening within a year of us, like, literally being a business.
Right.
And I think it's just, it's incredible when you can, you know, treat people as people over profit, not really worrying about what other people are thinking, because it's crazy. We get taught that, you know, you want to spam, you want to be everywhere, you want to talk to the majority. The more people that you talk to, the more sales you'll make. And that's just, it's not necessarily true.
Right. Oh yeah, no. And that's, you know, that's really been my first, I'll be honest, you know, I've been jabbing this entire, you know, reference to Gary's second book. I've been jabbing this entire year, and really the only offers that I've been making to people is just affiliate links, doing the whole Pat Flynn thing. It's like affiliates are sprinkled throughout the entire website.
Right.
And now it's like getting to a point where, you know, I'm actually starting to build a little bit of a reputation, and people are liking the show, and people are, you know, passing it along and all that. So I'm actually creating traffic. And for you to actually say, okay, so this is how you create, yeah, I agree with you, because I'm starting to see now fruits of the labor I've done in the past year. And my thing is that, do I want to start, even though I like working with people one-on-one and always have, and in fact, I did that in grad school because I was a graduate instructor or TA in the entrepreneurship department at Purdue.
Right on.
So I was already, you know, doing that advice. I have not been able to really come down with a solid way of figuring out what my standard rates are. There's some people that I'll work for, you know, pro bono still. And then there's others that are being like, here, I am going to give you this much. And so for me, it's been like, okay, how do I standardize that? And so I guess that's kind of the question that I would have for you is, how did you, as you got that first, again, you just pulled it out of your hat, how did you get is that the rate that you stuck with? Do you have like tiers that you work with people on now, or what?
That's a great question. We actually started that, and we still have the $497 package, but it is not all inclusive. What we've done is, as we grew our skill sets, as we developed new ways of bringing in results for our clients, we can now charge appropriately. Mm-hmm. So the way that we justify our prices is based on dealing and working with people who have high ticket items. So we don't work with clients who have $100 product margins. It wouldn't make any sense. We couldn't justify our price point to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So with what we're doing is we're targeting people who already have a business, who are already building an email list, who are already generating revenue, and they understand that, okay, well, all Brandon has to do is show me how to make, say, for example, our $1,250 per month package. Let's say that you have a product that where you make $500 on. All I have to do is sell, if I help you sell three additional packages per month, Mike, you're making a return on my money, on my investment.
Right.
And so that's why we like to deal with people who have, you know, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 packages, because when that happens, our price becomes so justifiable that there's no way for them to say no.
Right.
And that's where it all comes down to, is knowing your numbers, being able to let people know, well, okay, well, how much are you paying per lead right now? And a lot of the time I would put a number, if I had to say anything, it would be like 90% plus of the business owners have no idea what their cost per lead is. They have no idea what their long-term value for each customer is. They have no idea what they can spend on ads to still recover a profitable campaign. And that right there is going to hurt. It's going to hurt all the growth involved with your business.
Mm-hmm. And how did you become interested in metrics as far as your business goes? I mean, yeah, you hear people talk about it here and there, but for the most part, when you're first starting out, you're just happy to get one or two sales right off the get-go, and then it becomes more of a regular occurrence. So how did you determine the magic was in the numbers?
Well, the funny thing about that is I've been, my wife is not a numbers person, so she is the exact opposite. So everything on that aspect has to be kind of on my shoulders, but I love it. I've loved math ever since I was a little dude, and I've always been really good with that, and also trends. So I don't know if you looked this up about anything, but I played professional poker for about 4 years when I was out in Vegas as well.
Oh.
And yeah. And so a lot of my success with poker had to do with reading people, understanding trends. And with what we do with our business now is basically the same thing. We got to understand and pivot where the market's going to be, not where it's at or where it was, but where it's going to be, you know, and then we got to be able to understand the trends. Okay, well, we understand that, you know, X amount of people signed up for your lead page, but only a small percentage of them actually made the sale. Okay, well, what process in between this and this can we revise, edit, adjust, tweak to make it to where we can improve those conversions? And a lot of the time in business, people don't realize that if you just doubled your conversions, you don't have to double your ad spend. You don't have to double your time in social media. You don't have to double your email list. If you just doubled your conversions, you would double your profit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to go and look at the way, okay, how can I add more money to this campaign? How can I add more money to my business? Let's look to see what's already there. And let's like give you that 30,000 foot view and start to really break down things that you are, you know, either not doing too well or you're doing really well. And let's start to focus on those areas.
Right, right. Backing up real quick, you said that you, or we already know that your wife works with you. And not too long ago, actually on the show, had Brian and Francielli Daly on the show talking about being a power coaching couple themselves. He exposed her to the entrepreneurial world. Did you do the same thing for Sarah, or was she already kind of big into it herself?
No, absolutely. No, I definitely share that. We did not have, my whole plan was to, you know, grow my business, whatever my business may be at that time. At that point, when I had first met her, I was playing poker full time and going through a couple of different business opportunities. And so she was actually a stay-at-home wife. And until we moved out here, in August of last year was when she finally put on her her business hat. And so she's had to do a lot of learning. She has, you know, of course, somebody like me behind her to help her and support her. So the learning curve has definitely shrank down. But yeah, man, she had to come from being a stay-at-home mom where, you know, she 5 years where it was nothing but her and the kids to getting into now a business environment of waking up every day with goals and tasks and customer fulfillment and things to actually, you know, produce so that we could, you know, live the life that we always seem for each other.
Right. Right. Well, at least you're. First date. I think one of their first dates was actually at a Tony Robbins event. So at least you didn't put her on that big of a curve. I mean, my God, that's intense. But what some of the things that you focus on, you're more the metrics kind of person. You're more the numbers. What does she focus on?
I focus on basically, the numbers, the ads, the closing, a lot of the creation of things. She focuses on she focuses more on the organization of things, you know, scheduling the appointments, following up with people, doing a lot of the creative side of things where, you know, the images, the kind of ad copy, things like that. She definitely helps with the website development, SEO, things like that. So there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. You could imagine her being the behind the scenes kind of person that makes the machine run. While I'm kind of putting the parts together and getting people to show up for the show.
Got it. Cool. You are really big into traffic, leads, and sales, and specifically the close. I really want to get into that before the end, and we got plenty to go through here. So traffic, website traffic is what we're talking about. And one of the things that I've noticed quite a bit is that you seem to love live streaming and YouTube. And how does your video strategy enter into your overall traffic strategy?
That's a great question. It makes it easy for me to be able to create one piece of content each day and then basically syndicate that content throughout all social media sites, run some ads to it, blast it out to my email list, and let that be my sales promotion for the day. And when I focus on just that one thing, I mean, you know about videos. You could transcribe any video into a blog. You could then promote that blog on social media sites. You can run traffic to it. You could do anything that you want. And that all came from that one video that was made at the beginning of the day. So that's one reason why I leverage videos and live streams. The reason why I love webinars so much. That live feed, I've been so, I guess you could say, screwed over by people in the past that we understand that when somebody can see your face, somebody can hear your voice, and then they could see your body, you know, movements. Without having all that information in front of you, you're still guessing. But when you have somebody in front of you who you can hear, see, and feel kind of, then you get to make sure that all their emotions are in alignment. And then you can go and know that they're telling you the truth. A lot of the times people are going to lie over, you know, through their teeth about what the results they're getting, about their experience, about their promises. And your life, right? Because you know about that, right? And when you can have somebody in front of you, it's like, okay, look, his voice is matching his tone. His tone's matching his body language. He's in sync. He's telling the truth. Right. And that's kind of what I've been able to pride myself on with other people because, of course, my poker background, my business background, you kind of tend to see those red flags and get to be like, okay, well, I'm attracted to you or you repel me. And that's why I love those live trainings so much.
Right. And let me ask you something real quick. I mean, and this is kind of, I've been asked this myself as a lot of my podcasts are friends. And there's a reason why we do this is because we really enjoy the art of putting together the show. But let's just say that someone thinks that, you know, they're doing things online as far as video sounds like a great idea, but they don't find their creative lives to be too interesting. And again, editing, writing, you know, how would you suggest to people like that to get over the hump and to help them start making videos?
Well, if you don't want to be in the film yourself, now I believe that's a big mistake as a business owner. If you don't get over that hump and then mentally tell yourself, look, is this benefiting my cause or is this hurting me? And if you can honestly tell yourself that by you not being on video is helping your business, then by all means, go ahead and, you know, continue on that path. But I just can't find an answer that would support that. So, I mean, it comes down to breaking free from that mental belief that no one wants to see you, that no one wants this information, that it's already out there. It's already free. Why would somebody want to listen to me? And then having that overwhelming feeling of, well, now I got to record it. I got to edit it. I got to upload it. I got to syndicate it. I got to send it out. Having those kinds of things. And these are fears that I deal with almost every day with our clients. And these are people that are, you know, generating quarters of millions, if not more, a year at their business. So it doesn't matter if you're brand new or if you've gotten some kind of success. These emotions are going to stem with you until you break them. And the only way to break them, this is going to make some people's stomach turn, is to do more videos. So if you are in the middle of, you know, stalling, what I suggest for you to do is to give yourself a 21-day challenge where you make one video every day for the next 21 days. I promise you that if you look over those videos on day 21 and you compare them to the first day, you're going to see such an increase. And here's the good part. You don't even have to upload them to like an actual listed video. You can use them as an unlisted video, but still publish them. You know what I mean? Get that feeling out there and really do it. If you need help with any of the optimization, the editing, the things like that, you can always outsource that for, you know, as little as like, I don't know, $20 a day or $20 a project pretty much. I mean, it's really not expensive for that to be outsourced. So there really is no reason why you can't be making videos. I suggest that you just give yourself that challenge, do it, put up your videos. And I literally encourage every single listener right now to go back to my YouTube page and look at the very first videos that I've ever made. Okay. Because I still have, I have a ton of videos. And if you wouldn't watch those from the very beginning to the most recent, I keep them up there for a reason. And it's not just for other people. It's to keep myself grounded. So that I could see the progress and I could see what I'm making, you know, in the right direction.
So you would say that your number one way of creating traffic in 2016 then is video and live streaming.
Yes. Yes, I would. Yeah. I think it's a close second with the giveaways that we create, but yes.
Okay. What other social media platforms do you use on a regular basis?
We use them all. We're on all of them. We got LinkedIn, Snapchat. We got, I don't know if you've heard of Anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anchor. So we got Anchor.
Have they gone to Android yet?
I'm not sure about that. I didn't know it was only on iPhone.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I haven't used it. Otherwise I'd be doing a kind of like a daily thing on there. For sure.
Yeah. That would be perfect for you. That's where your audience is right now. Right. You know what I mean? And once they roll that out, that'll be great. But yeah, you know, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. I mean, anything that we can be on is where we're going to put our message. And I think that's what a lot of people feel is an overwhelming thing as well when it comes to business, is that social media aspect.
Okay. So moving on to leads real quick. So you specifically differentiate between leads and traffic, which is a good thing. Leads are what make your list. And a lot of people confuse your list with just being active on social media. Not the same thing. Definitely different. How do you go about getting your leads?
We have multiple ways. So the thing that we teach right out the gate to a lot of our brand new clients who are new to business is that you want to have multiple ways to reach the same audience. Mm-hmm. Everybody learns differently. So we have people who learn, you know, kinesthetically, people who learn from auditorial or, you know, from listening. We have people who learn better from watching. So we always encourage people to have, you know, video tutorials, PDFs, eBooks, guides, webinars, video series. You want to be able to solve the same problem, but come at it from different angles. So what we like to do is a way that we, you know, generate leads is by creating these value giveaways. So if you, for instance, had an audience that wanted to learn how to create a podcast for themselves, then we would create a value giveaway to help solve that problem. And we would come at that problem from multiple angles. So that the people who wanted to watch the video could watch the video. The people who wanted to learn from a live demonstration, they could go ahead and attend the webinar. The people who wanted to read through it, they could download the PDF.
Mm, okay.
And then we take them through a qualifying process where we can actually recoup a lot of our ad costs. So the next step in the funnel is once you get those lead magnets created, which are based around value giveaways, then the next step that they're going to be taken to is going to be a liquidation offer or what we would call a video sales letter. Mm. And that's going to allow you to complement more of the information that was just given to them. So if they opted in to learn about the 12 ways to build a podcast show, you know, with zero startup cost, then the next piece of information that they should see would be complementing that giveaway.
Right.
And then basically what we're doing is we're demonstrating to them that we can help them, this novel idea, by actually helping them.
Yeah. And that goes along with the whole idea of actually being like, if you're going to give this if they're giving away this content for free, their paid stuff has to be awesome.
Absolutely. That's exactly the mindset. Yes.
So, okay, cool. What would be, if someone was just starting their first online business, what would you recommend as like a good opt-in? Because this last, my first one, horrible, no results, nothing. And unless, I mean, again, they're just getting online. They're just realizing that they, you know, if they actually have an expertise in something, then obviously that's a no brainer. But what if they feel like they're one of those people that are like really good at a whole bunch of different things, but not necessarily a master in any of them?
What would I would say leverage somebody else's work that you can bridge. So we would call this bridge marketing. And when you can use bridge marketing effectively, you don't even have to be the authority. What you're doing is you're borrowing authority from the credible figure that you are looking to get the work from. So a lot of the times what happens is people have, videos and training and things like that. And a lot of the time people write PDFs and things that are not like, you can even get a PLR book. So private label rights, where you can go and purchase somebody's ebook offline for like $5 for resale rights.
Mm.
So now if you go to PLR, you know, you Google PLR ebooks or PLR free ebooks or whatever it is that you want to do with the PLR, you can get somebody's ebook who has sold, you know, $50,000 of this ebook. And now you know that for one, the market already shows that they like it. So the testing's already done. Mm. And then inside of that book, inside of that download, it's going to give you your ad copy. It's going to tell you exactly where and like the benefits of getting that and what they're going to be able to achieve by, you know, going through that information. And then you just add the hook. So every single profitable or converting lead page has two things, which is a valuable giveaway and a hook. And the hook, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I didn't even know a PLR existed in here. I've been around the industry for so long.
Yeah, no, the hook is basically going to be the thing. If you can imagine a fish being hooked, it's going to be the thing that gets them to lean into their computer, that gets them to say, oh, hold on, wow, this is for me. And this is where, you know, the creative side of people, the having a very large kind of, vocabulary would really help you in this sense, because we're looking to target people, we're looking to speak the same language. And a lot of the times when people are getting through ads or a sales funnel, they lose congruency. So they'll say something in their ad copy and then they'll get to the lead page and it doesn't match. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to, how to generate those leads, if you don't have any money, make sure for one that you have your ad campaign that's going to match your actual lead magnet. And then if you don't have any content yourself, leverage somebody else's.
Hmm. Nice. So leads are now going into sales. And one of the things that I know for sure is that to get actually someone to buy from you online has become harder. And it's because for one, they don't have that much interest. They'd have interest, but you have to build that interest through building trust. And so it takes about 7 to 10 touches before someone's actually going to buy someone from you. For one, I want your idea of if that's true or false, and then two, how do you build trust?
Well, I think that it's true if you're only speaking to cold traffic and you have everything on automation. Once you add the humanized aspect to things and you can actually reach out to people and have that real conversation, I found that I have conversations with somebody for the very first time on our Skype sessions, and I've closed them into high ticket sales products in less than an hour of us being on a Skype call together. And that's from us not ever talking before.
Right.
You know, and so that's why the way that I build the trust is from the content that we create every day and having that thing that you really believe in. A lot of the times, and I'm sure you can agree, is that when people get into business, they feel like they have to be liked by everybody. And if that's the case, you're going to end up selling to nobody. So what we want to do is, and I got this given to me as an example, you know, quite a bit ago, and it's not like going to choose sides between Republican or Democrat, but let me share this statement with you. If I was a Republican looking to get voted, would I talk about how, you know, I think the Democrats are nice, but, you know, they just have the wrong thought about things. It's just this and, you know, they're okay, but, you know, I think that this is better. Or would it make better sense for my fans to hear I am against what they feel and I am for what we feel?
Mm.
And when you can stand against something, or when you stand for something, you're automatically standing against something. And when you could do that, the people who are going to follow you are going to be 100% more open to what you have to go through. And you don't have to, now you've weeded out just by standing for something. You've weeded out all the people who really never had interest in you in the first place.
You're on it, which is unfortunate, but you're on it. me being a libertarian, I'm a very staunch libertarian. I kind of like see both sides of it, and I see what you're saying. It's just like, I just wish more people would come together and be happy, man. No,
I agree. No, I'm a libertarian too. That's what I'm saying. Like, rattle any cages right here, but it's the same thing. It's the easiest to do with politics. If you stand for something, then you're going to attract more people that stand for that, which automatically makes other people feel like, oh, well, he's different than me. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's what I want to get across to our business owners and our clients, is to say, look, it's okay. When you look at Apple buyers, that's why, like you said, Android. Well, I'm not going to, why aren't you going to Apple? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You are stuck with Android because you are loyal to that company. For whatever reason that brand got you, they're there.
Right.
You know, and so I think that is, go ahead.
A lot of people kind of just miss the mark on being dead set on being, and that itself is a leader aspect too. I mean, it's like, you're going to follow someone, like, more people are going to be happy to follow let's just say who the front runners are right now, Hillary or Donald, just because you know their stance. Well, you know his stance on things for sure. So,
right.
Yeah. So, and I think that's why he's been able to pull so many people into the primary. So yeah, good point.
I agree.
Good point.
And the other thing is that, just to let the listeners know, is that we have our people come to us. We use attraction marketing. I don't make phone calls. I don't cold call people. We have people that fill out a qualification process, that follow a process that we built, so that people can actually they notify us.
Right.
So we get notified each day. Hey, look, this person filled out a consultation call. I have the right. He wants to work with me, or she wants to work with me. I don't have to do any persuading. All I have to do is provide them with the value that they're looking for, and then ask them if they want any help. And that's kind of what our whole process has been. We don't really sell people. At the end of the Skype sessions that we get done with, when we hold them for free, these people leave with an enormous amount of value and step-by-step plans to help improve their business. And then I just ask them at the end, would you like any help implementing what we just went over? That's my close.
Right. Let me ask you, obviously you talked about your 497 first consulting story. Do you have any specific trainers that you got you from A to B?
I do. And unfortunately their focus has kind of switched, but yeah, I had a gentleman by the name of Paul. Paul Gardner was a gentleman who kind of helped us through a lot. But in the meantime, the bigger names would be the Grant Cardones, the Gary Vaynerchuks, the Frank Kearns, the Ryan Dices, just the real large people making 50, 60, 70 million a year inside of their businesses. Those are the people that I started to buy the trainings from. Those are the people that I started to go to the meetings for, the seminars, getting shoulder to shoulder with them and diving into that.
You said Frank Kern, pre-cursing Frank Kern or post-cursing Frank Kern?
That's a good question. I think I probably got him right in the hybrid. I've been following him for about 3 years now.
Okay.
But I really started digging into his stuff in the last, I'd say, 18 months.
Cool.
And I mean, his model is just amazing.
Cool. So as far as your future work, what are you planning? Are you still planning on doing the whole coaching thing and then adding products to it ever, or what? What are you excited for in the future?
Well, what we're excited for is this entire business, Northwoods Consulting, was formed to help serve a bigger purpose. So our goal for this is to be able to get and hire other consultants to teach our strategies and to build it out to where we're, you know, doing a couple million a year, without having to be the consultants ourselves, so that we can fund our big mission, which is to help. Basically, remember how we talked about the beginning of our discussion today was about how broken the school systems are, right?
Right.
So we have a big plan on creating a facility to house, and not really house, but help, you know, facilitate this learning curve for all the people who are really disabled. So a lot of it's going to be towards the people who are mentally disabled, but it's going to be open to everybody. Mm-hmm. But our goal is to help 50,000 people per year be able to graduate from our schooling. And this is going to be from ages of 5 to 25. And we're going to help them develop the skills necessary so that by the time they leave our program at the age of 25, they've gotten at least $1 million in cash or $1 million in assets, working with business ventures and things like that, while being able to become spiritually enlightened. So we want to be able to help shift really four generations. We believe that if we can get 50,000 people per year over the next 20 years, that's 1 million people that we helped save and 1 million people we helped get to where they don't have to worry about financial hardships, especially those with disabilities.
Wow. I like that. That's awesome. Next is up is the rapid fire questions real quick. Again, this is where I'm going to give you the questions relatively fast, but the response doesn't necessarily have to be too quick. First one is, what are three truths that you've learned over time that you'd want to share with others?
Three truths. Don't believe everything that you see. Number one, pay attention to the red flags and believe in your purpose. It's going to get you where you need to go.
Yeah. And again, that whole purpose is definitely connected to the people over profit.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like that. Three top favorite podcasts that you tell people about all the time.
I would say that the first one I love the Gary Vee podcast. I love the Grant Cardone podcast, and anybody listening, you got to get your Angles of Latitude, man. That's where it's at.
Thanks for the plug. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, brother.
What is something that you believed at 20 years old that you now tell yourself is bogus, and why?
Man, that's tough. I would say first thing that comes to mind is usually the truth. So I would say that you don't have to be a puppet. A lot of things that I learned when I was in the past decade would be that people tend to tell you that if you're angry, you've got to act angry. If you're happy, you have to smile. If you're upset, you have to cry. And that's, to me, is just being a puppet. You are in control of your emotions. You're in control of everything that you do. And when you can control your emotions and you can learn to control a majority of your thoughts, you can control your destiny. And I just, I just would love for people to know that just because you're angry at something does not mean you have to show hostility towards others. Just because you're happy doesn't mean you have to smile. You could be yourself and embrace those emotions for how they make you feel, not worrying about how the world views it.
Right. Right. That's very, you're familiar with Corbett Barr?
No, I'm not.
He used to do Think Traffic and is now one of the founders of Fizzle. And I'm a big proponent of Fizzle. In fact, that's the people that I recommend on most of my promotions. But anyway, he has a very interesting personal life, but at the same time, he comes off as being kind of stoic. And I think that what you said is very, it matches him to a T. It's like he needs his personal time and it's not that he doesn't have an emotion. It's just that you can barely tell what's going on behind and when he's on the podcast, especially, but he has his thrilled moment. So
right.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that. When you think of the word success, who comes to mind and why?
I'd say my grandparents, and because of the fact that they came from nothing, literally nothing, and to have left the world with what they've earned and to acquire the things that they've acquired and the knowledge and everything like that, it took so much confidence in what they were doing, because back then in the 20s or the 30s and 40s, no one thought that they were going to be able to do what they were able to accomplish, and they definitely are on the top of that list.
Wow. Cool. If someone was wanting to make more out of their passion-driven business, what are four pointers that you suggest that they do next in order to grow?
Gotta believe. Sounds corny, sounds cliche, but it's the God's honest truth. You've got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your vision. You got to believe in your product. Without any one of those things, you're not going to make it. Second thing is to find a mentor. If you are having the troubles that I had in the early stages of my business growing, where you're just out there trying your best and offering to pay people and you're still not finding any, do not give up on that. You're going to find the right person for you as long as you keep putting out the message of who you are and who you want to become. The whole quote is, the teacher will show up when the student is ready. And when you're ready, that person will be there. The third thing is strategy. Once you gain that belief, you find the mentor and they start teaching you the strategy, you've got to really implement it. You've got to implement it, which leads to the fourth thing, which is to take massive action. You've got to learn the strategy, but you can't just sit on it. You have to apply it, and you have to apply it even when it's uncomfortable.
Hmm. Yeah, and that last one's completely true. That's how I learned how to do cold calls.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So, where can people find you, Brandon? Out on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, I'm most active on Facebook. So if you're looking to find me, connect with me, find me on Facebook, Brandon Northwick on Facebook. And I'm always there to, you know, respond and engage and to get to know everybody who follows me.
All right. Awesome. Well, definitely a pleasure having you on, and look forward to future things that you're going to be doing in the not too future with Northwick Consulting.
Definitely, JC. It was a pleasure being here, man. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
All right, everyone, there you have it. I told you there was going to be a ton of good nuggets in this one. I mean, you can tell that Brandon really, really knows his stuff. And one of the things we mentioned in the show was about new social media for us audiophiles out there, and it's called Anchor. And for you iOS people, you guys have had this little app for a while, but I just wanted to let you all know that they are rolling the beta out for Android, finally. So if you've been waiting, it's coming. In fact, I'm part of that beta test, so hey. Also, if you're part of Brandon's target market and you want to connect with him, you'll be able to do so by visiting our show notes via newinceptions.com/session48. And there you'll be able to find links to all we talked about today and more in the show note extras. Show note extras for this show include 4 of Brandon's YouTube videos. And the first video that I have of his is his most recent video of what he calls his Business for Breakfast series. And in it, he talks about the number one myth when it comes to building a lasting business, which is that you don't actually have to sell anything. And that is a total myth, okay? Not even Pat says that, and he's been getting most of his money over the years from affiliates, right? And yet he's still selling. So I don't know where people are getting that myth, but it needs to stop. The next video is something that I think about regularly myself, and it's about getting more engagement with your audience on social media, which can be a kind of an interesting topic in all on its own. I mean, it's just like, how do you put, what do you put out there to get engaged with people? I mean, where do you even start? For those of us who might be interested in poker, I've linking one of his poker videos, and in this one, he's actually teaching how to select the right seat to sit in during the game. And me not knowing anything about this, I was pretty amazed in his knowledge here. And finally, I have another Business for Breakfast episode where he's talking about being guru-centric versus client-centric. And personally for me, this one hits home for me because it's all about helping your clients achieve what they actually want to do. I mean, you might not do all the work for them, but you definitely need to be focused on them and not what you're trying to position yourself. So that's it for session 48. Thanks again for Brandon for joining me on the call. And next week, I'm going to be joined by someone that I'm really proud to have gotten to know recently. And her name is Melissa Remfer. And if you don't know Melissa, she is the host of a group of business people called Brilliance and Business. And what's really unique about this group is that the members help each other out by trading services. So next week, we'll be discussing that group, a little bit about how she's gotten to be everyone's favorite group leader, and the 3 instincts of the human condition and how those apply in life and business. So if you're like me and you think that bartering services might be a good solution to some of your early business issues or even beyond, then you'll definitely not want to miss this really interesting chat with Melissa. So that's pretty much it, gang. Wherever you are, I really appreciate you for listening to today's session. You could have been listening to one of the bazillion other shows out there, but instead you picked the Angles of Latitude podcast. So I really, really mean thank you. So again, that's it. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.